Father, we come to you. We thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner that sees into the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God, tonight, we thank you that we are being taught. You will teach us, lead us, guide us. You'll bring us into all truth. You'll help us to understand your word, and we'll use it, God. We want to use this. This is what we use. This is the power of God unto salvation, so that we use it as the thing that powers us into victory in Jesus' name. Cancel the assignment of the enemy. His word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit abundance. We declare it done in Jesus' name. We call it done. And everybody said, Amen. All right. Why don't you say hi to somebody? Give them a high five or a hug or a wave and just let them know you're glad to see them here. And let's get on with it. Tonight, go ahead and be seated, please. Let's go to Romans chapter number 1, and let's do our study tonight from that chapter, Romans chapter 1. And one of the important things for us to do is to stay consistent and learn what God is talking to us about. Amen? Mm-hmm. So Romans chapter 1, I don't know, do we have a reader here tonight? Is there anybody assigned to read? Can I assign somebody right now? Who's the volunteer here tonight that wants to, boy, everybody looking at their Bibles and looking at their shoes. Okay, fine.
You know, I was one of those kids, though, when they would say, who would like to read the teachers, in your class? Uh-huh. And I would say, nah. You know, I was sort of like.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even like talking in front of the class. I didn't.
Well, your disease has spread to the others.
No.
Okay, so is there anyone that I'll do the reading. I'll be the reader tonight. How's that?
Well, okay. Well,
I read too much.
I can read
around
if you
y'all.
Want me to.
Okay.
Oh,
all
Felicia.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, Felicia's got it covered.
Felicia,
tonight.
Deaconess Felicia. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
I am
going to
pick it up again at verse number 13, Romans
you
chapter 1.
You probably won't
one,
read very
again.
Long knowing us.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to give you opportunity to be able to go, but there's a place I want to be able to stop. And
see?
So I'll let you know where we want to go. And
isn't
stop.
It wonderful, though? The Holy Spirit, he's the teacher.
That's right.
And so, we can just go to one sentence or one line and the Holy Spirit start talking to us.
That's right. That's how it happens.
I love it, though.
Yeah. Praise
God.
Why
do we have to rush?
I'm not rushing.
I'm not saying why, though.
Why are you talking to me like this,
because
girl?
we can stay... this is what's so fun is to be centered around.
For breakfast this
we're
morning.
Centered around God's word, and we can take
that's
our
right.
time.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
Romans chapter
it's
1,
full of power.
Verse number 13.
Okay.
Are we ready, reader? Go ahead, put that microphone good and close, and let's hear what you got to say.
Okay, Romans 1:13. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you. But was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. You want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek.
Continue.
For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Now, what I really want to bring out of here that the Lord put in my heart is the conglomeration of people or the collection of people that, of course, Paul is talking about. He has listed so many people. He said Greeks, barbarians. He said wise and unwise. He said those that are Gentiles. He talked about all kinds of different people that he wants them all to be able to receive. Now, this is what is important about this time of the year. We need to all be on agreement. Now, I'm going to deal with some stuff here. Okay. All in agreement on what Christmas is all about.
That's right.
Do y'all hear that? Because there's some that's got Santas in the front of their yards. I ain't gonna make it hard for you to stay tonight. But, you know, we gotta decide as believers, we need to be on one accord.
You know what? I think what I want.
Now, there's nothing wrong. And Saint Nick was a good dude, and he did some good stuff, and his story is very wonderful. And I think I'm thinking about the one that started Valentine's Day. No, I'm just kidding. But Saint Nick and the whole thing about Santa Claus is a nice thought, but we can't get deluded.
That's right. That's what I was going to say, that we have to be truthful to people, and especially to our children. I never raised my children up to believe in Santa Claus.
Are there any
children I was raised to believe in, you know, in Santa Claus, and I remember one Christmas they put some ashes in my stockings and say I was a terrible little kid. My sister, and I know I'm on live stream, and if she wants, I hope she's hearing me right now. She know who she is.
She's talking about Giselle. Okay.
So I love her, but she was different, and she would do these different pranks and stuff, and so she put some ashes in my stockings and said that I was a terrible little kid, I was bad, and so I'm not getting any presents or anything like that.
Wow, that's
and,
pretty
bad. I believed, you know, I said, oh, Santa's mad at me, but I didn't raise my children like that because we, you know, received Jesus Christ as personal Savior and started walking in the Word of God. We used to say that he was the man with
the
red suit and stuff, but you know, there's some history, of course, behind it, but the world took it and just started idolizing him so much that they don't, in fact, they get, in some cases, there's been people, and I don't want to get political on you guys, but there's been different groups around our nation that, you know, that get upset when there's a nativity scene in front of a government building or, you know what I'm saying, just different things, and people get really highly upset and really appalled by things like that. And so, you know, it's not like could we go to the stores and sometimes we'll see Santa Claus. And I remember the one man, remember every year we were walking, you know, in the mall, and every time we walk in the mall, we see him. And of course, we wave to him, you know, things like that.
He was looking
so
for
you're
work.
Not a hater in the sense of that.
Wasn't
you know,
nobody seeing that Santa Claus.
But we shouldn't, as Christians, we shouldn't idolize that as sort of like Easter with the Easter bunny. Anything
you're
but Jesus,
my point
you know, the world. They're not ashamed of what they believe in, you know, and so we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. And we should know, we should teach our children the real meaning.
You're getting it.
We should teach our children the real meaning of Christmas. That is about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the time of the year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. You have a birthday, and Jesus, he had a birth, or
That's
has
right.
a birthday. And so we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ and his birth, and we're not going to be ashamed of it.
So tonight, she's done a great intro, and I didn't even tell her what we're going to really do. But tonight, we have to get to the point because there's power in unity when we're of one mind and of one spirit. And if we're going, and see, we don't think this way, but if you're going to lie to your children, we'll say for 10 to 12 years of their life about something, and I won't even say who it is. If you're going to lie about that, when you start trying to tell them about God and Jesus and God the Father, they're going to say, you lied to me for 10 to 12 years about all that. How can I believe this thing now? Now you're going to switch it and say it's all about Jesus. Now, I was in my formative years, very young. My brain, it's still developing at 10 or 12, but my brain was developing, and I'm believing what you're saying. I'm supposed to trust you. And now you told me something that I got shocked when I found out, as the little kids would say, when I found out it wasn't true, because you told me that it was true. We didn't have, you know, I was sort of, this is the little kid thinking. I sort of was questioning because we didn't have a fireplace. So how you gonna get in? And you made up a lie about that. I was sort of concerned about the fact that I saw you one time eating the cookies, drinking the milk. Okay, I got a little concerned about that, but I just threw that to the side. Just said that you just worked hard that day and was hungry. You know, I was concerned about that. I see these guys all over town. They all saying they the same person. And they look different. I saw one pulled up, you know, the kid pulled his beard and came off. So now how can I believe? Now you want to tell me about some Jesus that he's not even in the department stores. Okay? We don't see Jesus on every corner. We don't see Jesus anywhere.
But I think kids do figure it out, you know, as they get a little older, they learn that it's really, I think their parents want them to know too, that, hey, it's really me that's buying all these expensive gifts or something. After a while, the parents want them to know.
Right. Okay, take all the glory. But see, really what came down to, God provided that money. Okay.
God did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we've been through some Christmases where God waited until the next Christmas to provide the money.
Yeah, but you know, we learned through that too.
Yeah, we did.
That Christmas really isn't about the gifts.
No,
it really is about Jesus, and of course, Jesus is our greatest gift, and so it's nothing wrong with, you know, celebrating and giving gifts and things because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Right.
And so it's nothing wrong. Yeah, because, and we should have a heart to give, you know, to each other.
Are we ashamed of the gospel? Mm-hmm. That's why we tell them about something else? Mm-hmm. Are we ashamed? Is it that we don't really want to tell? And I'm not saying that you're doing this, but people that are believers, are they like ashamed to really tell the truth about what Christmas is all about? I need some feedback, yes or no? You don't think they're ashamed? That's not why they, it's just a custom?
Yeah.
Or what is it? I mean, okay, it's confession time. How many lied to their kids? Put your hand up high. Huh? They were mad because you didn't lie. Okay. Well, you have little different kids anyhow.
Well, our
they're
son
my grandkids.
Actually, our son-in-law one time played Santa Claus. You don't remember that? You don't remember that?
That's right.
They used to, our grandchildren went to a, but that's okay. And see, that's what I'm saying.
It's not like sin, because
the background of St. Nick, as long as you're not worshiping that thing. But anyway, I remember our grandkids, they were going to this preschool, and the preschool actually used to use our church for their
the
Christmas
Santa Claus
event.
He ate for about 6 months and tried to get fat.
No, he was the skinniest Santa Claus I ever seen.
He's the one that they pulled the beard off. No, I'm just kidding.
It was like, the kids was like, that's not Santa.
Did you like that? Did you enjoy doing that?
Okay. I was saying, he was too skinny, so the kids knew there wasn't Santa.
He said he was Santa's helper. See,
why Santa was overweight, right?
No.
He ate all the cookies. He was going to house to house.
Oh, got it.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe it.
Another lie. Anyhow, see, and I'm not trying to come down on us. Let's have fun with this.
Yeah, that's why we're laughing.
I want to relate it to the scriptures because
if get all bent out of shape.
The Bible
it.
Says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. So are we taking the power from the babies when we tell them a lie? See, now I'm getting sort of reverent on you.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I think you can do both. I think you could talk about Jesus and stuff. And then in our household, like I said, we raise the
and
kids
to
say,
to them,
is the man with the red suit and goes around, you know, and stuff like that.
Okay.
But Jesus is about his birth. And so as long as you teach, to me, as long as you teach the children the real meaning of Christmas, you know, you want to have fun or whatever.
Right.
I don't
okay.
have a problem with that.
Let's go to a couple scriptures. Can we go to a couple scriptures? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now, I'm just
This is ownership right here.
I know. I'm
not ashamed.
It says,
for I am not ashamed. And I think every one of us.
Nobody is ashamed of the gospel, I believe. That's why they do the Santa Claus thing. I think it's just a tradition that people do.
Yeah, in our country.
But now we have to know that after you do Santa Claus, you're going to have to explain to your kids that you're not lying about Jesus. Because you lied about Santa Claus. Well, don't tell them you're lying if you already got them into the lie right now. Then again, you might want to just fess up.
But see, once again,
I know it's not serious, Kathy.
No. Once again, what I'm saying is that we shouldn't lie to our kids. We should let them know your dad and your mommy, they're the ones that really buy these presents and stuff. And it's just a man in a red suit, and they, you know, he goes and... But what does he do? It's just a plaything.
Why sit on his lap and talk to him?
It's a plaything. Okay. It's a play. You know, you don't get serious about it.
All right.
You just need to know your mom and dad, they buy the gifts, and so you just...
Y'all okay with that one? see, some of you've already raised your children, so this is not a big deal. But you got grandchildren. What you going to tell them?
I'm going to let their parents deal with that. Oh, I just tell them they're the man in the red suit. I won't even say Santa Claus, huh?
Can I interview my kids for a minute?
Oh, no.
Danae, come on up here.
You have to be nice. Danae has to be nice to us.
don't you be mean. Okay, Donald, come
on
up here.
No, about Santa
Pastor
Claus.
Pastor Don, come on up here. Come on.
See what they remember about what we told
them.
Did
you get mad at us?
I don't know. I can't even remember everything
the Lord
we said
told me to talk about
some
goodness, of the Christmases.
My goodness, the youngest is almost 30.
Do you remember the Christmas that we didn't have any money?
Yeah. I can't.
What happened with the Christmas that we didn't have no money?
What happened at Christmas?
We went to a assisted living home. Huh?
How old were you?
I was probably 5 or 6, something like that. Yeah, we went to an assisted living home, and my parents bought some fruit, and... We sang, and was there a guy with a guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, there was a guy with a guitar, and we sang to the old people and gave them fruit, and Monet and I really liked that, so I don't think we really thought the difference, you know? I think you might have gave us, like, one present or something that year, but it was, I mean, we liked that, so yeah, it wasn't bad for us.
What about Santa Claus not being real, and we didn't tell you about Santa Claus and all that stuff? Did you get
feel
mad,
deprived?
Or did your friends make you?
Did you feel deprived?
But you wanted all your friends to be saved, or else you wouldn't play with them. So, so what did you think of that?
Did you feel deprived?
No, I didn't feel deprived. Okay. I mean, I think it was just what we knew. You know how you just grow up a certain way, so it's just what we knew. So it was like, okay, well, that's just a, you know, phony, whatever. For us, it wasn't, like for Monet and I think it wasn't like a big deal. It might have been different with Donald, but it wasn't a big deal for us because we grew up like that. That's the only thing that we knew. So sometimes when you grow up and that's all you know, then you don't feel like you missed out on anything else.
Did your friends talk to you about it?
No, my friends didn't talk to me about Santa Claus.
They didn't care.
No.
Okay. Come on, give it up for Danae.
Well, you asked about if friends, because I think at that age, kids don't really talk to their friends like that. Because at that age, 3, 4, 5, 6, once they start getting 7, 8, then they're kind of out of that stage. That's when they really start talking to their friends about what's real in life and what's not. But for me, same with her, just kind of grow up, you know, how you grow up. So you're going to think whatever your parents teach you. But I also do remember, you know, sometimes where, you know, Christmas Eve, I'm sleeping in bed and I hear a little something on the roof. And, you know, you kind of want to think, well, maybe, as a little kid, you know what I'm saying? Because you have an imagination, so... I think the main thing is you have to teach your kids from a young age, as I have, my wife and I, we've always taught them, that Christmas is about Jesus. It's about his birthday, you know. But then we also, you know, get them some presents from Santa. And I don't see anything wrong with that either. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As long as
you... Too, Mom and Dad, they didn't have a lot of money. Well, they did, like, a little bit when I got a little older. But when I was younger, they didn't have a lot of money. So I remember them, like, going... And this is another reason why I remember... Or we didn't sell... Or I knew there wasn't a Santa because Mom and Dad would go, like, Christmas Eve and buy us Christmas presents. And so I remember that one time I went in the closet and wanted to see if my doll, I wanted that Cabbage Patch so bad. And I saw it in the closet. I was so happy. I looked in the closet. But yeah, so we knew, we always knew it was Mom and Dad. But like my kids, I mean, they knew it was us getting presents. We always told them from the very beginning, but I guess they wanted to know that there is a Santa, I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, but we always told them it was just a man, I guess. Did we say red suit too? I don't know, but I mean, they knew he wasn't real. We did pretend with the Tooth Fairy though, so I have to admit that.
Yeah, and we did do the Tooth Fairy.
We did, and then Nias found the teeth fairy in our bedroom, and so she was like, there's no Tooth Fairy.
But, you know, my kids, my youngest grandkids are losing their teeth, and so they come to us, and they said, oh, Grandma, Grandpa, I just lost my tooth, and the Tooth Fairy gave me, one time I think they said $20 or something. I'm saying, when did the Tooth Fairy give $20? I remember we got 25 cents or 10 cents.
It was a quarter. Yeah, that's all we got.
But anyway.
At our house, we ain't get nothing. My dad ain't have no money for no Tooth Fairy.
We did.
You
we
lost your tooth. You just lost your tooth.
We got 10 cents. But
yeah, so
you know, as long as your kids know the truth, then you know,
and I always wanted to ask them this. You know, did they feel deprived? You know, because we wouldn't.
But she remembered us going to the
nursing home.
Nursing home, and
we did that as a church also.
Yeah, because I used to do that with my aunt, and so when I was a teenager, and I remember that, and I never forgotten that. It was so much fun to me.
Yeah,
and so. Actually, I don't know what happened. I'm looking at Michelle back there. But we have always said we're going to take our young people out and
have them sing
to the nursing home. So we're going to have to really make sure that happens next year.
Yeah.
And because they just enjoy it so much. They love it. So we want to bless other people. But we never got hung up on, over the years, my husband and I, we tell people all the time, don't get bent out of shape trying to buy, get a going to debt, trying to buy all these presents and all this.
Don't go borrowing,
you know,
money.
And so, you know, just do what you can. And like that one year she was talking about, we just went and blessed other people because we just didn't have, you know, you were going through your transition and radio from radio and stuff. And so we just took that as an opportunity to give to someone else and taught our kids. And I didn't know that that's something that they really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so it's good to see that they remember that now.
Yeah.
Or
and,
she remembers
you know, but,
it.
You know, before we went through that transition, I mean, we had so many presents under the tree. It was almost a sin. It was ridiculous how many presents. We bought, you know, any relative, three or four or five.
I remember
presents.
When we didn't even have children when we first was married. And I remember we would just, it was ridiculous.
It was.
It was
the
so,
tree
it was so many
I mean,
presents.
The presents.
I thought you were supposed to buy one for everybody in the family. And
four or five of them.
Four or five gifts. You know, I didn't know. I'm newlywed, you know.
Then we went through the transition.
we said, no,
getting
okay.
out of the radio and television, getting into ministry, and boy, that was a transition. So, you know, I'm not coming off whatever, but the Lord put in my heart that, you know, we have to realize what we're telling our children will help them with their belief system.
And that's not just for this area, though.
No, it's
for
not.
Life.
And the Lord put in my heart also that the enemy consistently comes up with another story about his story. Now, his story is his story. That's what history really is. It's his story. And you have a his story. You have his story in your life. And so we have to not let the enemy, whether it's the tooth fairy, whether it's the Easter bunny. I mean, you know, every time we turn around, there's something replacing Jesus Christ. And so we can't let our families, our children, ourselves get deluded in really what this is all about. This is about Jesus Christ. And as the body of Christ, we saw that Paul was speaking about the Greeks. He was speaking about the Jews. He was speaking about the Gentiles. He was speaking about those in Rome. He was speaking about everybody. And see, as believers, whoever we are, going to Rome, been to Rome, been to all these different places, been to Greece, been to all these different places. But believers from all those places, we should be on one accord, which takes us to Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's go there. Put it on the board, please. Philippians 2 and 1, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ. Now, remember, Christmas is Christ Mass. A little bit of Catholic influence there. It's the Christ Mass. So when we take it from Christ, the anointed one with his anointing is what Christ means, we are really diluting this thing.
Well, now in our society, have you guys noticed that a lot of people said they'll say,
happy
instead
holidays.
Of Merry Christmas, they'll say, Happy Holiday.
Well, you hit one today back in
the
head with
it. Because I said, Lord, I got to somehow, I need to change this, you know. So someone said to me, Happy Holidays. And I said, well, Merry Christmas.
Because we can't forget what this season is all about.
I told one girl.
This is real. I mean, this is stuff that you don't think about. This is the subliminal life of Christians just going alive.
Last year, I remember this really happened at a department store, and the young lady was in training.
Oh, yeah.
And the young lady was in training, and her boss was right next to her, the person that was training her, and she goes, make sure you just say Happy Holiday. Don't say Merry Christmas because we don't want to offend anyone. She said that whispering to the girl, right? And the girl's helping me, right? And I heard it. And so she goes, Happy Holidays. I said, look, it's okay to say Merry Christmas to me because I believe in Jesus and this is, you know, so I explained it real quick. Her, the person that was standing there just listened. And I said, so I won't get offended if you say Merry Christmas to me.
That's right. We have to be on one accord. Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if there are any consolation in Christ, Paul says, if there's any, okay, you get the consolation prize. You don't get the new car, but you get a consolation prize, a bar of soap. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, any of these things, continue with verse number 2, please. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. So the Greeks, the Jews, the Gentiles, the Romans, everybody need to be on the same mindset, especially about Christmas. I ain't preaching too hard,
yeah,
but I'm sort of preaching hard right now. Yeah. So we have to watch it that we don't let Santa take over. Because Santa wasn't in the manger. Mm-hmm. He's too fat. Santa got to lose weight to get in that manger. He needs to stop eating all them cookies. Okay. Santa's a nice guy, but Santa ain't save you.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
And see, believers all over the world have to stay on one accord with this.
Yes.
We should be of one mind. So we think the same way. One mind. You ask this one, that one, that one. There are different people with different languages all over the world that believe in Jesus. We all should be saying the same thing. Now, it's all right to play a little game. You know, yeah, we got, you know, the Easter Bunny. whatever. Who is it? Is it? No, it's not the Easter Bunny. It's the, who is it brings the, for the teeth? Tooth Fairy. Okay, Tooth Fairy. Everybody know that's stupid. So anyhow, but you can, because Jesus ain't bringing you nothing for your teeth, okay? He gave you your teeth, but he ain't bringing you nothing when you lose.
The children even know that that's just a little plaything.
They know.
But they're not going to complain. They get money.
For see, we have to remember what it says in Romans chapter 1, 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If we're going to live by faith, we got to live off the word.
Yeah.
And so we can't be twisting the word and thinking we're going to live by faith. Okay?
And really diluting the power. Just zapping the
power.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, we just read that too. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Not just to salvation, but salvation is the whole lot. Salvation, sozo, soteria. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. It means healing. It means prosperity. It means all of that. When you get saved, you get saved.
Yes.
So you have a wonderful life. Now, sometimes we screw it up while we save until we learn what to do with it. But you have received a gift. Listen, in this scripture, this lyric out of that song that is the main theme for this year's A Gospel Christmas keeps coming up to me again and again. Jesus was born to die for our sins. And so that's what this is really all about. Without Jesus dying and Santa Claus just coming down your chimney, you ain't got no salvation. Because Santa don't bring no salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
Santa need to get saved. Mm-hmm. I've seen some mean Santa Clauses. I'm like, how do you work with little children? You're so ornery. Get off my lap. Where are my cookies? So I'm just trying to use this to be able to help us just think a little bit. Because as we go through this process and our children do grow up, we have to have them trust us that what we say is the truth. And if we start with a lie, how are you going to get them to the truth? Let's go to Matthew. Let's see what it says about this then. What does it really say? Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. Now, it says now. I'm reading it out of the King James Version. It's more poetic. You can read it out of the translations. I got a bunch of translations here, but I'm not going to read it out of that. I'm going to just read it out of the King James, which is what we normally hear. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Okay? In other words, this is how it really happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now you have to understand, when couples were engaged, which was what espoused mean, they were in a contract just like they were married from the time that they got engaged.
Mm-hmm. And they should be.
Right.
They should be.
The truth of the matter, they should be. That's true. The truth, but they did not have physical relationship. That's the only thing that did not happen in that betrothal or that espousal or that time when you were engaged. You do not have sex. Okay, but you are just like you're married. Now, this is an example for the church because we are espoused to Jesus. You are not married to him yet. You are engaged to him. There will be a marriage supper of the Lamb when you get married, and that's going to be held in heaven. So you ain't having no marriage supper here. You ain't married yet. So this is a spiritual relationship. We will have transformed or different bodies when this become a physical relationship. So we are espoused to Jesus. You are engaged to Jesus Christ. Now, in that betrothal time or in that espousal time or when you're espoused, the man is supposed to go do one thing. Go build the place we're going to live. That's Jewish tradition. That's what happens during that time. And that's why they take that time. Because he's got to prepare a house. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for you. You're going to have a mansion. You're going to live with the Lord. You ain't going to live in no shack. You may be living in a shack right now on government assistance, but you ain't living that way when you get with him. Because he ain't coming down to your level. He's going to bring you up to his level, and he likes nice things.
Yes.
So you can get mad about prosperity all you want. You're going to get into heaven. You're going to be really hammering the jaws because it's rich up there.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You get close to that place and you know there's something going on in that place. With them, you know, all those 1,500 miles and 1,500 miles.
He really loves beauty.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
God loves beauty, I'm telling you.
So Jesus uses marriage as an example of the relationship of husband and wife for the church. So screwing up before you get married is not what God wants you to do because that gives a bad example, especially as a believer, of what it's supposed to be with this espoused period of time that we're having with Jesus. Because if Jesus ain't around, going around fornicating with other people, he ain't got no other relationship with nobody else but you. And you are not supposed to have a foreign relationship with other gods.
That's true.
I know I'm getting a little serious right before Christmas.
That's true.
But I'm just trying to teach because a lot of people don't understand this. Our marriage of 52 years, the reason why people should be glad to see us get married and stay married for 52 years or for you getting married for 10 years or you being married for 12 years should show that God works in marriages. You go through hell just like anybody else go through hell. You are two very violent streams coming together, very violent rivers coming together, and you got to become one. And there's going to be some turbulence. There's going to be some white caps. There's going to be some bumps and some lumps and some stuff going on because you have to become the two, become one flesh, but you're not one spirit. With the Spirit of God and becoming part of the body of Christ, through Christ espousing us, we become one spirit first, then one flesh.
But it's important for you to eventually become, to have this, even the Bible says here, have the same spirit of faith. Is very important.
Together.
And that's what really works for us.
Right. We have the same spirit of faith.
We have the same spirit.
A lot of stuff we don't even talk about.
Yeah, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe the same. We really do. We believe the same.
That's right.
We love the same. You know, we love to worship God.
That's right.
Worship music. I mean, we are, you know, we have the same spirit
of
faith.
It's wonderful to be married to your best friend.
Yes.
But I was telling her today, I said, I hate to be married and hate your guts and try to act like I don't. Could you imagine that? You're married and you can't stand going home to see her. It's like, see, this is the thing about it. You want God to be the one to put you together. And some of you scared of marriage. God wants to give you a relationship, especially if you were not the one or if you were not a believer when the thing fell to pieces. Well, I mean, come on, what are you going to do?
Or if the person left you, I mean, what are you going to do?
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians,
you're not in bondage with that.
If the believer leaves,
you have to put it behind you.
Let him go.
Forgive
because a brother or sister is not under bondage in that case.
Yep.
And I'm not promoting divorce, but I'm saying you need to be two believers because it's going to take both of you believing to make it in this crazy world. You don't need no unbeliever sitting there talking about what you going talking about some church. Man, you know, even when I was in fog and my mind wasn't where it should have been spiritually even, she said, you ain't stopping me from going to church. Now, I couldn't get myself to even function that way. I couldn't even get myself to be able to understand reading the Bible. That's how they drugged me. I was that drugged that I would read the Bible and it made no sense to me. And so she carried on. She was not going to stop even because of that. She knew that it was best for us, for her to continue to believe strong. And her believing is what delivered me. She prayed me to victory. In fact, I've got this in two of my books already. I got it in Cast It Down Imagination and Take Control of Your Thoughts.
God did it, though. God
I know,
really
but
did.
You want to give it to God, and I know. Yeah. But if God didn't have you here, nobody would have done
but
it.
I just followed his lead.
Well, I understand
I was
that.
Obedient, and it's very important.
Oh, that's good,
to
but
be
I'm just glad you did it.
No, but it's important for us to obey the voice of God.
See, because there's some spouses that when you get in a condition like I was in, it's like, see you later. I've been looking for an opportunity to get out of here anyhow. Bye. You're going to suffer for the Lord by yourself. I'm going to find me somebody else that got some brains in their head and not acting stupid. Well, you'd have missed out on all this.
I know what I had.
Well, you were the one telling me, Don, yeah, you're coming back better than before. Yeah. God had already shown you that.
As believers, though, and I thank God for the members that stayed and believe God right. for your health and everything else.
But it's not about me. I mean,
but sometimes people, even church people, sometimes they leave when maybe a leader got sick or things get tough. And we have to learn how to stand.
Yeah, even when you don't hear what you want to hear, you got to stay.
Yeah. I think sometimes I told the women this, it's so easy to quit.
Yeah.
But you have to learn how to stand.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says learn how to do good.
Yeah.
And standing, in your standing, you should be doing good.
You guarantee that you're going to lose if you quit.
Yeah. So, and if you're going to have a marriage, there's things you go through, you know. And we're not talking about real crazy things, you know, where you... talking about, you know, your life is in danger or something. That's a whole different thing. But
now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I'm going to read through this and get it done. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, you got to use your faith to believe this. Because people are like, well, I don't know about all that. Well, then you just ain't spiritual. All you think about is the flesh. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit impregnated this 17-year-old girl. 16, whatever she was. That's how it happened. Now, we're so fleshly. How did that happen? I mean, I don't know how that happened. No. You don't understand. That is what happened. What you read is what happened. It says nothing about Santa or sleighs or reindeers and red noses, nothing. And so we got to keep this on the real truth that before they were espoused, but they never came together. She was found with a child of the Holy Spirit to the point where Joseph was like, I'm out of here. I ain't going to do nothing to make you look bad, but I'm out of here. Because you know, being espoused, we ain't supposed to be doing none of that. And see, as believers, we're not supposed to be having other relationships with other gods.
Okay. That's right.
Committing adultery. Idolatry, which is idol worship, where you can put anything and make it an idol.
In front of God.
You can put your job in front of you and make it a God. You can put your car in front of you and make it a God. You can make your children your God. You can make your spouse your God.
Yeah.
You can make anybody your God.
Yep.
Idolatry and adultery are the same words in the Hebrew. So if you are idol worshiping, it is just like adultery. If you're committing adultery, you're actually worshiping that other person. So we have to know what we're dealing with. We've got to learn to be faithful.
It's heavy stuff in the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
I know, the Bible's just...
So she was found with really child heavy. Of the Holy Ghost. Just take it and believe it. If not, I don't know how you're going to get in heaven. Because that's how you get saved. By believing this. I don't know what else. Hey, I ain't got no plan B for you. Next verse. Then Joseph, her husband... Now, notice he calls her husband, not her boyfriend who was engaged to her. He was considered a husband, just like you're considered the spouse of Jesus. And Jesus is considered your husband. You are already married, single folk.
That's what single people...
You married a Jesus.
That's what single people really need to embrace and really say, you know, you're married to Jesus.
Right.
And so you just stay faithful if you want to, you know, if you have a desire to be married on this earth. But stay faithful to Jesus and not compromise. God has someone for you.
Right. And see, when we take relationships and put them in front of Jesus, we mess this whole thing up. And God doesn't
God knows our heart, too.
Right.
Sometimes God knows... You know, that if you, you know, and this is what we have to change our heart. Because God knows sometimes some people can't handle a title. They can't handle a spouse. They'll go away from the Lord. They can't even have a good job. They can't handle money.
Success.
You know, and stuff.
That's what winning against all odds is all about. Because people, they lose when they win sometimes. They don't know how to handle victory.
Yeah, so we have to get our heart right and say, Lord, prepare my heart for, like we're going into the Spirit of God's putting on. We're going into 2026.
Oh, God.
And so we need to ask God, prepare my heart for more.
Better to ask God.
Come on, you guys need to receive that. Big. The Spirit of God told me. Because that's why sometimes we don't get more. Because God knows
the
heart.
He'd rather have you than you have the stuff.
He said he knows the intent of the heart. And so we need to ask the Lord, get my heart ready for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Thank you, Father, for that. Because I'm going to do the same thing. God just dropped that in my heart. So I'm going to definitely spend time in prayer and get my heart.
Jesus is spending all this time preparing for you. What are you doing to prepare for him? See, we got to stop wasting time because, you know, he's living in eternity. We're finite. We're not infinite. We're finite. And we only got so much time to prepare for him. So this is important. I mean, this is really important. Okay.
And he said he's coming back.
He's coming
for bride without spots
or
wrinkles.
Right. And that only
happens
through the
blood
of Jesus.
And so that means it's on the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where
that
you don't go back out and mess yourself up with the world. Because it's easy to do. You can do that real easy. You know, and people do it every day. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That's important to underline that. Because this man didn't want to just dog her. He could have. He could have made a public example. He could have announced to the community, this lady, I am espoused her. She screwed up. She went out. Listen, she's pregnant.
But men
ain't got nothing to do with me.
Strive to be like that, though.
Right. They should be not wanting to hurt others. I got some other scriptures to go with that if we get there. It says, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You don't quietly put her away. Just let you go. You go to auntie's house and you stay there until the baby gets 2 years old or so. Because I don't want you to look bad in the community.
Yeah. But that's what we have to remember. We should never, in the Bible, where is Noah?
Mm-hmm.
His son didn't want to shame his father,
right.
And so he saw his father naked, and he walked backwards to put cover over his father.
Ham,
so he would
Ham didn't do that.
Right. But what I'm saying is, as a believer, we shouldn't ever want to get revenge on someone.
Right.
You know, we need to leave that stuff to God.
That's right. And you know, I appreciate that about this first lady. And see, you all watch some character here, because one of the reasons why this book is taking so long to finish, because I want her part in it. Of what she had to do to minister to me for 6.5 years, you know, almost 7 years. Because she really, like Noah's son, she really wanted to cover me, to protect me, so that people wouldn't look at me and get the wrong impression. Here I am, a pastor going through this hell. And it's like, well, I thought you pray for people and they get healed. What's wrong with you? Well, I got poisoned, okay? That's what happened to me. But God delivered me. But the whole time, this woman just covered me, protected me, kept me. She would get on people's face. Danae did the same thing. Shut up. Don't say that. And then when Danae didn't do it, and Kathy would get on Danae and say, don't you say that about your dad. He's coming out of this thing. I mean, they kept each other going on this, just blasting each other back and forth. No, we're believing he's coming out of this. No. See, you got to learn how to cover somebody other than yourself. There's some people around you that probably need to be covered. And we don't need to be exposing everything about them. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to embarrass people. We're here to help people. Jesus, God so loved the world. He knew all your funky sins, but he so loved you when you were in the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave a baby. This is what's exciting. I can't get to it tonight. But what's so exciting, God uses the strangest things to be able to do what he does. Now, he uses a baby. A baby. Can't talk, can't walk, can't do nothing but go, and then, you know, you got to change the diaper. Okay. That's it. Used a baby to do so unassuming. Who would think you're going to use a baby? I mean, and here's King Herod looking for somebody to fight with until he died. And then his son comes up and acts a fool too until he died. See, we have to realize God is not trying to, like he was, this is the heart that he has. Just man, he wasn't trying to make him a public example. And see, a lot of times I talk so raw, some of you think I'm trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Just keep looking straight. Nobody will know it's you. Just keep smiling, looking straight. Nobody will know I'm talking about you. You don't want to give yourself up. But say, well, that must have been for me. Shut up. I didn't even know it. Okay? Just If the shoe fits, get a pair for Christmas. Okay? See, and this is what happens with people, and this is why they get scared of coming to church and stuff, because the Holy Spirit will read your mail. What is he supposed to do? Just sit there and let you just go through all this?
No, we should want the Holy Spirit to talk to us.
He reads my mail.
We want him to talk to us.
So he didn't want to put her away, was minded to make a public example of her, mm-hmm. and that's what Jesus is doing. And we still mess up after we get saved. He don't sit there and put you on blast. But sometimes we want to do that with people we find out about. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bible says if a brother or sister be caught in a trespass or in a fault, ye which your spiritual restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself also. Mm-hmm. And I think if you start acting a fool and try to wag your finger in the face, God's going to cause you to look like a fool next.
Yeah, you have to be.
You're trying to embarrass everybody else.
You
see,
really
we have to
do.
Watch that. And what you said about taking revenge, don't take revenge. Yeah. We all have gone through hell. If all of us, if we had to really write everything that we've gone through in our lives, you wouldn't even want to come back to this church. You're going to write an essay and put it up on the screen about what you've gone through, what I've gone through, what everybody's gone through. We've all gone through things that are stupid, even after we got saved.
Well, we need to really let go of the past. You know, as Christians, we have to get...
I think we heard that.
We really have to get to the point
I think that young preacher over there was saying that.
The past is like, after a while, it should be like, you know, when somebody try to... relatives...
Who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
What are you saying?
Really. And even when the enemy tries to bring up your past... You have to mature to the point where and I've gotten to that point now. I'm serious. Where the enemy will try to bring up your past or something, and maybe through someone or your own mind, he'll try to plague your own mind. And it's like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't Who's even that? Know. Because you if have he to really... cast your sins as far as the east. And see, you got to do that immediately. As soon as you get the word that delivers you, don't you let nobody bring you back into that bondage.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may hear something tonight or tomorrow, and all of a sudden you say, God, forgive me for that. I'm correcting that now. Mm-hmm. Forget it. It's all now all gone. Don't go back to it and just dig it up now, mm-hmm. and you still got to deal with it. No. Mm-hmm. Ain't none of your business anyhow. Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah. Ain't none of your business anyhow.
Right.
And unless you can use that testimony to help somebody, don't even use it. You
That's
should use
right.
your testimony selectively.
That's right.
You're dealing with certain issues and you get delivered from them, you shouldn't just blast that to everybody because
really
everybody
shouldn't.
Can't take it. They're going to look at you strongly the wrong way. But if you're with
that's
a group
right.
that has been dealing with that issue, maybe you're dealing with a small group or whatever that's dealing with that particular issue.
And God releases you to say
God releases you. Now you can tell your testimony.
Because
you don't have a testimony until you pass the test.
Yeah. There's some things that should just, it'll just
Ain't none
the
of their
past,
business.
It'll just die with you.
That's right.
You know, and
Ain't
that's
no...
okay. Because if God can't use it, because people are not mature enough to hear it, or you have to pray and
Next
say,
verse.
Lord,
Next verse.
If this will be helpful, then great. But if it's not going to, if it's just a, it'll be used to gossip and stuff, then you know, you have to really be led by the Spirit of God.
Okay, we've got 6 minutes. But while he thought, now this is what's powerful. God knows what you're thinking. The devil does not, please understand this, the devil cannot read your mind. He reads your mouth. So that's why you got to keep your confessions big and bold until the victory shows up. He can't read your mind, so you may be thinking crazy stuff like you're going to be defeated.
Right.
Just don't let it come out the hatch.
That's right.
Don't say nothing about that. Mm-hmm. Only speak Bluff him. Speak what the word says. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath.
And you got a battle
you know
going on in
your
head,
mind
about it.
The devil is telling you, you a loser, you a loser, you ain't going nowhere.
You got this,
and you don't speak that. Don't
you
speak
call
that.
Call a tornado in
that's
your mind.
That's right.
Going
that's right. Now, I wrote that in Take Control of Your Thoughts.
But
and also
you're going to bluff the
cast
devil
down
out.
Imagination.
That's right.
It's a tornado, hot and cold. Yeah, you all that. No, you're
and
not.
And the devil... The devil does not deserve to know what you're thinking.
That's right. Ain't none of his business.
So,
because the
so
enemy
don't
will
let it out.
The enemy will submit to your mind
God
stupid stuff to make
thoughts.
You feel like you're convicted.
Mm-hmm. I just said something. You guys better hold on to it.
Say it again.
Yeah. The devil don't need to know what you're thinking. And he knows when you let it out of that,
don't
that mouth.
Say it.
Yeah,
if
because
you don't
God
want
can
it,
deal
don't
with your
say
thoughts.
It. If you don't
God
want it,
can
don't
handle
say it.
It.
If you don't want it, don't say it. If you don't want it, don't say it. If you don't want, nobody, ain't nobody's business until the Spirit of God prompts you to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God can handle your thoughts because he knows, he sees beyond. Okay.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, angel in a dream, that's pretty deep, but I ain't going to go there. An angel in the dream saying, Joseph, son of David, not the son of whoever his father was, but the son of David, going all the way back to the lineage that matters about Jesus. Because it's a spiritual thing. Son of David, fear not. Underline that, because that's where we most of the time when we're dealing with God, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with fear.
He says that too.
Fear not. Fear not to take Mary, thy wife. He calls her thy wife. Uh-huh. Take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now he could have messed this whole deal up. Your salvation would have been out the window because there ain't no second Jesus. He could have said like they say nowadays, let's just go to the abortion clinic. How many preachers have been aborted?
That is so true.
Let's just wipe it out. Let's just wipe it out. It's nothing but tissue anyhow. No, it's not. This child is conceived. That which is conceived, you call it what you want, in her is of the Holy Spirit, is of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit has to do with other people being conceived as well. Not everybody comes from just flesh. I believe you're sent here by God.
Yes.
I believe God assigns people to be able to be in your life that God sent here to help you. Now, and not Jesus. I'm not saying when they're all Jesus's, right. But I believe God has something to do with the birth of people. Okay, let's move on.
I believe we're in their lives for a reason. They're in our lives for a reason.
That's right. We affect each other. We don't know how much we affect each other.
You guys bless us.
And it's not just the pastor affecting you. Mm-hmm. You all affect us. Mm-hmm. We grow from you.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
And she shall bring forth a son. This is not tissue. He shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name. What?
Jesus.
What are we going to call him?
Jesus.
What are we going to call him?
Jesus.
Do we have to call him Jesus? Why can't we call him something else? Yeshua is the Hebrew word. It's Hebrew and Aramaic for the name Jesus, meaning the word means salvation or Yahweh or God saves, derived from the Hebrew verb yasha, which means to rescue and deliver. So every time they said Jesus, they were saying rescue, deliver, save. When you say Jesus, you're saying save. Save me. Salvation. Yes. Jesus' name is designed to be used for him to fulfill what he was called to do. I think it was this little young preacher again that was saying that people in those times didn't just name their kids anything. Names meant something. Now, this is a backup of what we just got preached to, I think it was this Sunday or the Sunday before.
It
says, the name signifies Jesus' divine purpose to bring salvation from sin and deliver people. That's why you need to know that this ain't about Santa Claus. I'm sorry. This is about Jesus Christ saving your butt out of your sins. Take that to the bank. Now, you can buy yourself a little Santa Claus, put it on the counter. I don't care. You can have a Santa Claus in the yard. You can have a talking Santa Claus in your driveway. You can be Santa Claus. But don't forget Jesus. You can have Santa Claus all over your roof. I don't care. You can have one come down your chimney. First put in a chimney.
Are you going to end here?
I am going to end here.
Because I want to read.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I want to go down. Can I read just one more?
Yeah, we had more scripture to
and
go
it
to,
says,
but
we
don't have time.
Yeah, we're out.
We got to go.
Says, I just want to say, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Can we just
God with us.
Because I love that.
Yes.
That God is with us.
And we could go to Isaiah and all the different places and read that. His government, the government shall be on his shoulder, meaning that he has his own government. which is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And it's
not
on
like our
Jesus's,
government.
It's on Jesus' shoulder. But just like the government that you have in this country, I mean, you all have dual citizenship. The government of God has its own financial system. Has its own health health program. Now they're trying to put together something for health care because health care costs.
His own laws, commands,
his own protection with angels. He has so much. It's his government. It's the ultimate government, the only government that will last. These governments are going to pass
advocate.
Away.
He's our advocate.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's our attorney.
Judge. He's our attorney.
That's right. So say it with me. Let's say his Jewish name together. Can you say it? Do you know what it is?
Yeshua.
So you will hear Jewish people calling him Yeshua. That's his Jewish name, but we say Jesus because that's the English way of saying Yeshua. It's the same thing. It means to be saved. So whenever you call on Jesus, and this is why people, when they get in trouble, I don't care if they're not Christians, they say, Jesus! In their spirit, they know they need to call on. They don't say, Buddha! Hare Krishna!
They know who to call.
And that's why they cuss the name, too.
Yeah, that's true.
They cuss the name because in their spirit, they know that'll get to God without even knowing God. Mm-hmm. But when you call on Jesus, you are calling on, and you know, I don't know how many times you have gone through this where you're about to be T-boned on the road, you're going down the road, somebody didn't stop at the stop sign, and you're going across that intersection, Jesus! What you're saying is, save me. And somehow that car just, you know, slowed down enough for you to get across. God will save you. He has saved us.
Praise God.
Ms. Shorter? Thank you
That's
very much.
It. Praise the Lord. Come
Do we
on,
have
let's
a good
give
time
the Lord
tonight.
A good hand. Praise God.
So next time I teach this, we'll have Santa Claus. You can sit on his lap right over here. We'll charge you $5. Everybody can come and have a good time with Santa. Okay, Father in Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
No,
Father in Jesus' name, we seal this time in your word, and we thank you, Lord, for it. And Father, we're not here to condemn anyone. We pray, God, that we receive tonight what you have said to us, and we use it for every part of our lives. We cancel the assignment of the enemy to be able to cause confusion in our lives. We desire to lift up Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So God, we lift him up, and we thank you, Lord, for him in our lives. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
All right,
come on, let's praise the Lord one more time.